So how was it to sit just now in the silence after the change of form, after the communication? And what did you notice? And this is what we're doing now as we move from the retreat into our more so-called normal life. So there are different conditions. We won't be taking the conditions of silence and stillness with us. We move into the conditions of speaking and more interaction. And we see the effects that has on our mind and body. And that's okay. That's our practice too. So not to need to run away from the ripples and reverberations of being with other human beings, but to see that too as part of our practice. So the speaking, the listening, the intentions, our views, our energy, our effort, our livelihood, the way we live our lives, and the meditation and the practices. So seeing our practice in a very, very broad sense as we move into our daily life situation. And one question one of you came this morning and told me a nice story of something that happened yesterday, and it reminded me of Stephen's story at the beginning of the retreat when he saw the lorry go by with do you remember Confidence in the Making, when he saw the lorry go by? And one of you was there yesterday walking by the kitchen, and the builders were digging holes to lay pipes. Did you see them? They were digging holes. And she was just walking silently, listening. And I'm sure this question, which Christopher has been probing a lot, depth or not depth, depth or not depth. And yes, there's times where we meet deeper places or in a certain dimension when we're on retreat. But what she heard was that stood out. One builder said to the other, who's digging the hole, "Is this deep enough? Is it deep enough? Is it deep enough?" And the other one said, "As long as it's connected, it's deep enough." So maybe what's important for us to take to our life from that, it's nice, isn't it? What's important to take from our lives to that is letting go of the fascination with what we perceive depth to be and making connection our priority. Making connection our priority. And that may be connection with deep things. But connection, in any sense, we can't judge whether it's shallow or deep. It's very, very hard to judge that. So how do we make connection in our lives through these practices? We can set time aside to engage in what we have found useful here. So if we have found it of service to us to be in silence, to sit for periods of time alone and just be, then this too will be useful in our lives. If what we have seen here is, oh gosh, yeah, things really do come and go. Or we've seen that, if we see that more and more deeply, then let that show itself in our lives by not needing to hold on to things which we know are just changing into something else in every moment. It's just changing into something else in every moment. So, and taking time for connection, whatever that means to you, wherever connection is found, and whether it's with oneself, whether it's through connecting with other people who share similar aspirations and similar views, or however we choose to show our life of connection, then make the connection. Make the connection. If we feel like we don't have any time in our lives to do this, then we may need to reflect of where we make space for what truly is important for us in our lives. We may wish to set up an intention of sitting every day, and that's fine if we do, and it's of undoubtedly great value to us. But to notice where it becomes just one more thing to do. If that becomes our attitude around it, then maybe it's better to just find places to connect. We say, I haven't got time to sit, but have we got time to breathe? To be present when one activity ends and before the next one begins. if it's not an hour that we sit, if it's 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, it's not wasted time. It's not wasted time, even if all that's happening is just a kind of a accumulation. If we just sit, it keeps reminding us of what's important to us. So connection with things that inspire and nourish us. And if we see that we have a small spark or a large spark or a roaring fire of love of wakefulness, love of truth, if even if it's only a small spark, then it's our duty or our job is just to fan the spark. Our job is, each of us, to put ourselves in a place where that flame can take fire and actually give us the energy that's needed for seeing clearly. So that may be books, or it may be coming on retreats, or being in contact with people who, you know, that our sparks are fanned, that the fire is fanned. And this is what we can do. This is what we can do for ourselves. The practice of the ethical guidelines that we talked about at the beginning, the non-harming guidelines, are a very important place of refuge in our life, really. If we found them useful here, just that awareness of not harming the creatures, the property of others, through our sexuality, through our speech, and through our not using intoxicants, if we found that helpful as a way to just settle, then take this into our lives and see the simplicity it gives us, actually. The simplicity it gives us, not as a moral outer authority, but as a way of simplifying our life. One thing in the daily life situation, where life starts to get too complicated, or we find ourselves engaging in old patterns or tendencies, or we just catch ourselves on the brink of something we know, oh, if I go down that road, I'm going to get into further, deeper waters. In the Carlos Castaneda books with Don Juan, and I can't remember which one's the teacher, but it doesn't really matter. And he says, the teacher says to him, have death as your advisor. So it's as if our death is on our shoulder, not in a morbid way, not in a fearful way, but, this knowing that we are going to die seems to put certain things in perspective. It really does. And just calling upon our death for some advice. If I was to die today, would I do it like this? Because the truth is, we don't know when we're going to die. So if that serves you, if it just scares you, then don't use death as your advisor. But if it's a wakeful call, with knowing that I will die, how would I act in this moment? And we forget, and then we come back. So also not to judge ourselves in our daily life. When we do see ourselves tumbling into the roads of unsatisfactory habits, wherever we wake up, that's okay. Just like here, wherever we wake up in some tumbling pattern, I'm here. Looks like I'm here again, but okay, I'm here. And then, can I begin again? Perhaps the last thing is the importance of stopping in our lives, because very easily it starts to get this busy momentum, and then the cycles start to spin, and then it seems like there's nowhere off the wheel. And if we can make moments, even if that spinning momentum is still there, to stop, to stand still, to open our eyes, to look in the sky, to take a breath, and just stop, this can make a difference. This can make a difference. sometimes it feels very fearful to stop, because we know if we stop, all that momentum from all that spinning is just going to come tumbling with me. But the courage to stop, well, we've done it here, you've done it here. The courage to stop serves us. It serves us and it serves our world. That this practice, as we start to see more and more in touch with us, is not just for our benefit. As we start to break down those barriers of oneself and other, that practice is clearly for each one of us. It's clearly for each one of us. So we serve our whole world if we just stop for a moment. Anything else?
Wonderful.
I think that's enough. Yeah, I think that's enough. So thank you for your practice and for your stopping and your listening and being. Thank you.